Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Episode 175, Tom, top of the day to you, sir.
Top of the evening to you if you are overseas.
Like our very special guest, Tim.
Hello.
Tim from quite a few things. I'm going to say VGP first, video game podcast, but also, Tim, you do another podcast as well, right? Daily Patch?
Yeah. So I do a daily podcast that mainly talks about all the news in video games. It's under 10 minutes. I try to keep it under 10 minutes, but I like to talk. And then the other one, VGP, is a once a week podcast that I do with my brother and my best friend. And it's about everything video game related.
You guys know your stuff.
We try to. So yeah. I'm obsessed with video games to the point where the podcast was born from me driving home from work and having my brother on speakerphone and just talking 45 minutes a day about video games. And we're like, hey, let's just turn this into a podcast. And one thing led to another and boom, here we are, you know, 60 or 70 episodes later.
I was going to say, you've been going for a while. Yeah.
I got to ask, what are you playing right now that's awesome?
Ooh, I know before the show you're mentioning Warhammer. I want to dive into that, but right now I've been playing some Hitman. So I finished the new Hitman 3. I've been playing a lot on my PlayStation 5 and some other games on Game Pass on my Xbox. I play them all. But last week I also finished Days Gone on my PlayStation 5. So that was, like they that upgraded game. It to 60 frames. So I had to check it out.
Sure.
And what'd you think?
It was like Sons of Anarchy meets The Walking Dead in a video game. So for those that like those shows, I really highly suggest it, because I'm a big TV guy too. So those two things coming together in a video game form just nailed it.
And the hordes are so stressful.
I know. And I'm one of those guys that I go for the platinum in the video games. So I'm like, okay. I even though I can ignore that horde, I have to go back in and kill it at one point.
How many times do you reckon you were just riding along on your bike, enjoying yourself, going from A to B, and then all of a sudden you turn a corner and you're in the middle of a horde and you're like,
That's what happened. And it was one of those things where certain games I play and I'm just like, I'm not dealing with that. Like I was just, there's this new game called The Medium. It just came out on Xbox Series X and S. And I played it and this demon just comes out of nowhere. And I'm like, you know what? That's it. I'm done. And I just shut it off and never touched again. So
nice.
Luckily, Days Gone, you know, it didn't hit me like that. So we're good to go.
I get you with that, the scary stuff. So here's my confession. I have Monster Hunter Rise ready to go. And I love that game. But there are moments in there that scare the crap out of me.
Yeah.
And I know I should be firing it up, but also like tonight the new DLC for Planet Zoo comes out. That's my jam. I can't do the scary games anymore. So I watch tons of horror and I love horror movies and stuff, but I just can't do scary interactive stuff. And I think it goes back to being spooked by Doom way back in the day of something popping out at me. And
it's totally true though. Like I'm that guy in the movie theater that's like freaking out. Like I can't go and see scary movies. So it's not, at least you can watch the movies. I can't even watch like the movies in general. So I'm like the guy freaking out in my seat, you know, burying my head in the popcorn. So luckily in the sense of video games, at least, you know, sometimes I can turn on a light or something.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
Now I want to know, what was your first console and did you and your brother have to take it in turns or was there an understanding?
So growing up, my brother and I, we always share video games. We still share video games. We share Pokemon cards, which are incredibly hard to get now. So we're scrounging, going from Best Buy to Best Buy. With consoles itself, starting off on our very first one, I would say, I think he got the Game Boy, the original, like OG Game Boy Pocket. And then he got the Game Boy Color and we played Pokemon Silver and he had Pokemon Gold, I had Pokemon Silver. But our main first, like, big console was the N64, you know, Pokemon Stadium on that, Mario 64, all those fun Nintendo games. So I'm a Nintendo guy through and through. I love Xbox and PlayStation and Sony, but Nintendo is where my heart's at.
I think that's the right call. if you're of a certain vintage like we are, then you had to have grown up on Nintendo because it was all about characters. And, you know, I still love Banjo-Kazooie and Conker's Bad Fur Day and, you know, a lot of the classic Rare gear. It's a shame that we don't get as many platformers like that, but I did enjoy the recent Crash Bandicoot.
I've heard it's quite hard, though.
It's fucking hard.
I was playing that game and I was like, are they making this for like 10-year-olds? Or they make, because I'm in my mid-20s. I'm like struggling to beat this. Like I'm like sweating bullets trying to get through the final levels.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. Ahead of the Egg and Spoon Championships this weekend, organisers would like to remind participants it's not BYO. They will be providing the aforementioned egg and spoon to everybody taking part in the races. Of course, we all remember Jonas Bill's cheeky attempt last year to compete using a soup ladle and hard-boiled eggs. Not only was he caught at the starting blocks, but he's been banned from competing this year. Witnesses have claimed to see him sitting on his front porch sulking. Don't be like Jonah. Watchersville is next on the list for the telegraph rollout. Our post office will also act as our telegraph station. This is where highly trained locals will wait with bated breath to receive messages via the newly installed telegraph lines. These will then be delivered to the appropriate Watchersville resident, who we are sure will be standing by their front door waiting to receive the message. It's all very exciting, and we're sure this technology will be around for years to come. Dominic Jenkins is now taking applications to join his Domino Discord group. If you are interested, you can request a 24-page form to be sent to you, which then must be completed and submitted within the hour of it appearing in your inbox. The next round is an interview, then a Domino's trial, and finally walking over hot coals. You know, standard stuff and totally worth it. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
I can't remember what questions I've written in Would You Rather, but we may find out more about people's gaming preferences later on. I've done a lot of watching.
As have I. Friday was a big day.
You did a lot of watching then. And Tim, I know that you've done a lot of watching as well. So we'll get into some watching suggestions a little bit later on. Why don't we crack on into the news first, though? Tom, do you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. Why not? So, you know, I'm a big fan of The Boys on Amazon Prime, and Invincible started last week. We got 3 episodes of that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But The Boys, there's a bit of, because they're filming season 3 at the moment, they have announced that they have cast a character named Little Nina. And she's being played by Katja Winter, who's a Swedish actress that you might know from Sleepy Hollow. She's Ichabod Crane's ex-wife in that show.
Right.
So Little Nina is a Russian drug lord. She's about 5 foot. She was given some compound V when she was younger, and it did something to her system. She has no interest in men. I'm trying to dance around a few things here, but she's quite obsessed with vibrators.
This sounds very much on The Boys brand right now.
It super is. Yeah. It super is. Anyway, she gets some knockoff version of Compound V and starts building a Russian super villain army.
That reminds me of something else we'll be talking about later on.
It doesn't pan out particularly well, and it's kind of in the comic series, it's kind of one of the first big sanctioned by the government missions that The Boys go on. So where we saw with last season that they may be able to work with the government a little bit better moving forward, this kind of plays into that of a storyline of going kick some ass over in Russia.
Oh, it's even got like, I don't know when the new season of Stranger Things is coming out, but they're both kind of going off towards Russia there. That's interesting. I'm not quite sure. So that character's from the comic books?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And it's she's only in one like 6-issue run where they go to Russia and they meet Love Sausage, who's a like 7-foot tall dude with a rather large appendage.
I would imagine so because of the name. Tim, have you watched the Boys?
So I'm going to be real. I've only seen the first season of The Boys.
Yeah, right.
I very much enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good show. But I think kind of to Tom's point and kind of Leah, to your point is too. I feel like not only the Russia thing, like everybody's doing the Russia, like the Stranger Things is also doing that, but I feel like everybody's doing the comic book TV show too. You know, we got Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus, and then we also got Doom Patrol on HBO Max. So I've trying to catching up on all of them while I can, but I only got one season into to The Boys, and I love it so far. So this is right up my alley.
Well, you might have a while to wait, right?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be. We may get it at the very tail end of this year.
So you got heaps of time to get through that second season.
There we go. There we go.
Just relax and for a moment before I tell you to get ready for another show. The Wonder Years was Fred Savage's like big show when he was a kid. But as we know, they're doing a reboot and they've cast, well, his name's not Kevin. I can't remember what the new character's name is. It's not Kevin. But Don Cheadle will be the narrator, which is pretty cool.
Oh, I really hope that the very first episode where he gets to do the voiceover, his first line is, "I'm here, get over it," which is what he says in Iron Man 2, the first line he has because he replaced Terrence Howard. Or there's got to be some point where it says, "Boom, are you looking for this?" That's his catchphrase. Yeah.
So the reboot's still set back in the 60s in America, but it will be in Montgomery, Alabama. AL's Alabama, right?
Yeah, AL is Alabama.
Okay, good, good.
Because AK is Arkansas. It doesn't make any
sense. No, that wouldn't make sense.
That feels a bit different. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Still set in the late 60s there when the Wonder Years was originally set. And it'll be about the issues that instead of a white family had back then, it will be the issues that African Americans as a family unit faced during that time. So I know that Fred Savage is involved in this. I think he's directing it. So it's going to be a link there for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. I know I'm talking a lot about Marvel at the moment, but we've been getting all these clues through the series of potential heirs for Avenger roles. And we've talked about young Avengers and things like that. Mm-hmm. Another one of those. So Hawkeye what's her name? Hayley Steinfeld. She is going to be playing the second Hawkeye or whatever, and she's being trained in that series. But we're also learning there's potentially going to be a spin-off series from that as well, following a character named Echo. Now, Echo is, I'm going to get through this as quickly as I can. In Avengers Endgame, you might remember that Hawkeye spends part of the film with a bad mohawk, and he's like an assassin in Japan, and he's on a murderous streak. He's wearing a different suit that's known as the Ronin costume because he's like, I don't want to be Hawkeye. I'm without that. That Ronin costume bounces around a lot in the Marvel Universe in the comics, and different people have worn it. A character named Echo wears it at some point, and it's kind of like, imagine if you took Hawkeye and mixed with Daredevil, except instead of being blind, Echo is deaf.
What is he?
So it's a female character.
Oh, she, sorry. Yeah. Is there like, what are the thing that bats have where they sense?
Echolocation.
Yes. Is that what she what she has?
Yeah, kind of.
She should. If not, I've come up with a wonderful idea that no one has ever come up with.
I think, it's awesome. I think the way they represent Daredevil on, not as much the film, but in the TV show, was a really interesting take on having a differently abled power a superhero, and I think Echo will be really cool. She Hawkeye is deaf in the comics as well. He has a hearing aid, but that hasn't been included much in the films. He's been seen wearing earpieces and stuff, but they've never really honed in on that. And then Echo takes that characteristic a lot further, and it's she's like a ballet dancer. With her, she's very graceful and stuff like that. She's constantly flowing in motion. I don't know anything more about it than that at the moment, that they're going to do this spin-off. But
I'm going to have a guess, right? Yeah. If she's really good at moving like a ballerina, there's going to be a bit where she has to go down a corridor and there's all like the infrared rays, and she's got to do a dance around them. Like it writes itself.
Catherine Zeta-Jones dips beneath the lasers.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'm like, it's like Catherine Zeta. I'm in on this. I'm so in. It's Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
She has to play the part, though. Agreed. I feel bad for the other actress, but I think we have to get Catherine Zeta-Jones in.
Changes are going to have to be made. All right, let's stay on Marvel. So I saw photographs on the weekend, last weekend, of the Thor Love and Thunder cast watching a Rabbitohs rugby league game with Russell Crowe, which makes sense because he part owns them, the team, yeah, or something?
He part owns the team and he's got a few private boxes.
So when they then said that he was in the cast, I was like, oh, shocked? Not really. It was going to happen. He's another actor in Sydney, so why would he not
pretty much any actor in Sydney at the moment is getting a gig. Melissa McCarthy put her hand up and was like, I'd like to be involved. And then 3 days later they announced that, yep, she had, it was added to the cast.
Yeah, right.
Goldblum was in the booth
as
well.
He was in the photos, yeah.
And he hasn't been confirmed in any way, but, you know, he played a pretty big role in Thor 3, so it makes sense for him to be back in some fashion.
Hmm.
Probably just a cameo, but. I will take any Goldblum.
Look, the amount of actors that they've got lined up for this movie, I'd be very surprised if anybody gets more than two lines because they're going to have to like.
Well, it feels like they're going for the Endgame vibe.
Yeah,
of just let's cram in as many characters as we can, but let's use a lot that we haven't seen in a while, or supporting characters and stuff.
I'm a big Jeff Goldblum fan. Tom, sounds like you're a huge Goldblum fan. I watched that entire series on Disney.
How
Plus,
good is it? So, you know, the season two is meant to come later this year.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
There we go. And him in Jurassic Park, because he says the exact same line in Independence Day and Jurassic Park, must go faster. So they have to shoe that in.
Christian Bale's supposed to be in this, right?
He's movie. He's playing Gore the God Butcherer.
It's a good name.
Mm.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Our Walking Dead man, Steven Yeun, is going to be in a... I think it's a 10-part series for Netflix with Ali Wong, who was, if you remember, gosh, I think it might have been 2 years ago now, she had that really funny movie with Keanu Reeves. He was only in that. That's right, Tom's doing the actions. He was only in it like a cameo for, oh, no, he was in a couple of scenes, actually. Yeah, but he definitely stole the movie. Anyway, she's going to team up with Steven and they're doing a show called Beef, and it's like a dramedy where they're both involved in a road rage incident. I'm not sure if they road rage each other, but I'm assuming that they're going to fall in love and fight at the same time. This show was not going to be Netflix's from the beginning. In fact, Netflix, Amazon, Apple, who's the other one? FX, I think, were all trying to grab a hold of this this series. And I think they were all trying to grab a hold of it since he got his Oscar nomination.
On such a hot streak.
Yeah, look out for it. I assume it's not going to be for a very long time because they've literally just signed for it.
And I'm sure she is as well, but he is very busy. One that's not quite as a hot commodity, but I'm pretty stoked for. I'm a big fan of Dirty Jobs with Mike Rowe. Do you ever see that series, Tim, where he goes out and does crappy jobs with people or like difficult jobs?
I love that show.
Okay,
that show's like the OG Discovery Channel.
Yes,
that's like the reason why people buy Discovery Plus is just to watch that.
So they did a short reunion last year of four episodes, and it was kind of like a highlights package type show. They have announced that they are coming back for a proper season and it's going to be focused on essential workers.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So he's going to go around and spend time with the people that are keeping America running.
He seems like a really good guy.
He does. He's very old school and he knows how to rattle the chains on Facebook and get people stirred up on both sides of the political spectrum. And I think he plays both of them a little bit. He's very, very clever. He's a narrator on like, not Through the Wormhole, but one of those heady science shows that I like to go to sleep to.
Whenever I think of Mike Rowe, though, I just think of like a jean jacket and jean pants and just like this guy that's just like all the, like I just think of like a Canadian tuxedo kind of thing, you know, where he has like the full jean outfit and I need to get on Mike Rowe's level. Yeah, I think I could do it. I think I got the jean jacket in the closet. So beautiful. I just got to get the jean pants and the jean shirt. But be completely Mike Rowe.
Is it acceptable to have different colored jean denim in an ensemble or is that?
Oh, I think that's encouraged.
Okay.
Do you want to show that you're that much of a jean aficionado that those aren't a matching pair?
Yeah, right.
I've chosen to put on multiple denims that clash slightly.
Okay.
As long as you have like the little red handkerchief that comes out that what's his name has, who's the rocker that has that?
Oh,
Springsteen.
Is it Springsteen? Yeah, I don't know why I can't think of that. But as long as you have that. But then at that point, you get a white T-shirt. Now I'm dressing up instead of Mike Rowe. I'm dressing up as the boss instead. So
that one subtle change, and it's a whole new person. Amazing.
Entire ensemble. And I got my Halloween costume already on this podcast. There we go.
Nice.
Quick, write it down before you forget. Hey, before you forget, also, 2nd of July is when Sony is cutting off the PlayStation store for PlayStation 3, the Vita, and the PSP. I always forget the name for the PSP.
I loved my PSP.
I never had the handheld.
Oh, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, right.
Played well.
Amazing. You're completely right. These stores are closing down at the in July, and the Vita one, the Vita store, I believe, is closing August 27th is the date. So the Vita one's going to be open a month longer.
Okay.
And fans of the system can still download these games, but if you buy the game now, you could download it forever, or at least until the store's, you know, gone for good.
Yeah.
But you cannot buy any new games after July or August for the respective systems. If you're a big Vita connoisseur, like I love my PlayStation Vita. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Tom, you're saying the PSP, there's some amazing games on both systems. So I suggest to, you know, go and get those if you can now. The nice thing is that you can still get a lot of those games physically. There's some physical retail stores that sell them, such as Limited Run Games and some other ones that do sell kind of the more, I guess, niche games, like a physical version of them. So you can find them. I wouldn't be too worried about if you own those systems for the future, but if you're just a big person that just downloads like all your games, this is a little frightening. This would keep me up at night.
I think just because of the nature of how not great our internet is, there's still a real need and demand for physical games here in Australia.
The Xbox S is the only one you can easily find. Like, there's been no PS5 since before Christmas, and the Xbox X is very difficult to come by.
Very difficult.
The S is everywhere because no one wants that. We don't have the internet speeds to, like, it would take half a day to download a game.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. Yeah. So that's, you know, that's another reason why physical games are still used all the time here. So, yeah.
I like when I go to the comic conventions and stuff, there's always a couple of people set up with stalls of like, hey, here's every Pokemon cartridge ever. Come and pick through and get what you
isn't
want.
Isn't that the best feeling though? So when you see like, or when you like go on eBay and be like, okay, how much is this game that I own worth? You know, like that's the coolest thing. And the other day I was walking through this old store in the middle of central New York State, and there was a unopened copy of the Pokemon Blue version from, I think, like 1996. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, that's that part of collecting is the fun part. And that's why, you know, we all do it. So, but unfortunately, it was a little out of my price range. But
oh, really? How much? Ballpark.
300. So yeah, I was like, I can't justify spending $300 on a game that I'm just going to look at every waking moment of my day.
Yeah, but I mean, you talk about collecting this stuff. Well, if everything is digital, which it will be, where do you go to collect this stuff anymore? You know, like that whole thing will just go, and that's a shame.
It is. It's the same as but I think it'll still stick around in some way because records. I still love going digging for records.
Records, comic books, books as well.
There's still that tangible nature. Yeah. I still love buying a game and reading the back so intently on the way home. Can't play it yet, but you can read that.
There's nothing better. My brother and I say it, and listen, this is what's going to get me, you know, this is what's going to put me 6 feet under early. But it's like when you open up the game and you open it up and you smell that new game smell, there's nothing better than just holding the game up to your nose and just being like, there we go. That's all the plastic just being ingested. But I love it. I love that smell.
It's part of the whole experience. Yeah, so until July, I've still got my PlayStation 3, but I don't know if I need anything on it. I've still got my PlayStation 2.
The thing with the PlayStation 3 and PS, you know, PlayStation Portable and Vita is if you want a game, you could still go out and buy it. It's the systems that you guys were mentioning before, those Series S's. I know there's the PlayStation, the PSP Go, which is a completely digital PSP. That system screwed. So unfortunately, I own that system. Sure. And because it's all download, so unless I download stuff in the meantime, that system's kind of kaput. So, but for the most part, everybody else, I wouldn't really be too freaking out about it, you know. Yeah.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
It's a big story, and I've read through lots of little bits and stuff, but you've probably seen that Disneyland have put in some applications for changing things up at Anaheim. Now, they're very cagey and yet also weirdly open with images of what it could be, but they're not looking to expand further out than where they already are. They can't buy that land around. They're landlocked. They can't go any further out. But they've had some deal with the city of Anaheim since the early 90s around the different zoning restrictions of you can use this area for parking, this area for hotels, this area for retail, this area for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And what they quite rightly are saying is that things are way more integrated now than ever before. And they would like to find ways to do that with the space they've got there. So putting in underground car parks they can have things above ground and stuff like that. And they showed some potential artwork of what it could look like. The Disneyland Hotel, which is up one end at the moment, is now surrounded by park area. A lot of people got excited because there was very clearly a Wakandan Black Panther statue in one area that looked like it was next to Avatar. There was an area that looked like Frozen. And they talked quite openly about this. These are the sorts of things that we would be able to bring to Anaheim if we can start using and utilizing this space better.
Mm.
It's 2 years for the approval process to perhaps be allowed to change some of these things in future. So a lot of people were getting wildly speculatively big ideas over the weekend of what this could mean. Simmer down. It might just be they want to put in a bunch of more hotels, change up the parking structures, mm-hmm. and a few things, but it's not. Mm. They've got no room to put in the Tron roller coaster, the Ratatouille race through the kitchen. You know, all these great things that they've got at other parks around the world, they just don't have the room for.
Yeah.
So if they can utilize this room better, that'd be pretty cool.
When was the last time you went to Disneyland in California, Tim?
Never been. So I'm a huge Disney nut. I wrote my college thesis at least part of for one of my classes on Walt Disney, the entire empire that he built.
Nice.
But I will say I'm absolutely obsessed with Walt Disney World. I hopefully once COVID is and this and that is over, I can fly down and go, and hopefully you guys can go too.
It's
one of those things where I'm maybe this is just me. I like things in just heavy doses. So I love Anaheim. I appreciate it. But if I'm going to go to Disney, I'm just going to do it complete and just go to Disney World and just go to like every single park.
Yeah, I get it. I'm with you there. So Los Angeles is one of the shortest flights that we can take out of Australia. It's only 14 to 16 hours. It's a reasonable flight for us. So we consider that like a stop if we're going somewhere else. So you can stop at Disneyland for a day or two in Anaheim, but I'm with you. I've been to Orlando and you can't have less than a week. There's no point going there if you have less than a week because there's just so damn much. I'm dying to go to Universal there again because they've got, I mean, the Harry Potter Hagrid roller coaster opened since I've been, but they've also got this new Velociraptor coaster at the moment that they're trialing. Get me into the Disney.
Did you guys see so they added that, but then they're adding this new Super Mario Bros. World to Universal too. I was like, that's another reason why we all got to get down there.
Well, it's for sure. They've just done they finished soft open at Japan of just the Mario area, and I don't think the Donkey Kong area is done.
Those initial photos that they released, it was like, is this real or is this the game? That was amazing. Yes. So to be able to walk through that, fun.
Very keen for that. The other thing that I'm super keen for, and we've talked about this a lot, but I cannot wait to see the Suicide Squad. James Gunn's Suicide Squad. I didn't care at all for the David Ayer version, and I don't understand why people are requesting release the Ayer cut. Like, you got your Justice League Snyder one. You won there. Stop the fight. Let other people have nice things now. So they dropped their first trailer over the weekend, and oh boy, I think I've watched it like 20 times.
Holy dooly, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
Was so shocked I said the words holy dooly.
You did.
That was a thing.
There's just so much to unpack in it. So King Shark is now voiced by Stallone.
I saw that.
It was originally Steve Agee, who is still the mocap, and he's the beardy dude on the computer being like, oh my God, we've got a kaiju. So he's still in the film, but it means that they've changed the direction for the shark to be dumber, which I'm really into. they're all going to die. There's so many in that movie of people that we get that are just going to die horribly, very, very quickly.
Did you see the first Suicide Squad, Tim?
I think I saw like the end of it. It was like one of those things where it was on TV and I watched the end of it with Will Smith. And I was like, I should check it out, but I skipped it. And then I saw this trailer and I'm like, I'm happy I skipped it because now I get to see, I guess, the real thing. Mm. It's kind of like the people that, I guess now I haven't seen Justice League. Maybe I should wait for the gray version to come out. I don't know why, because everybody's saying watch it in gray. I don't really care about that. But Suicide Squad is one of those movies that I'm just like day one, I'm in the theater, I'm dressing up something and then just going.
The cast in this film is amazing. And there's so many people I love in tiny little role. Is a guy named Flula Borg, who's hilarious. He's playing a German guy named Javelin. How do you think he's gonna die? The great music looks really funny. And before this trailer, so everyone's been very excited about John Cena's performance in the film, and so much so that James Gunn has written a TV show that ties into the film starring his character.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They're already like in production for that at the moment.
Wow, okay.
So Peacemaker TV show. And before this trailer, I was like, okay, I can maybe and stuff. And then this trailer, you see his character come through, which is kind of funny that we're going to be talking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier later, of what happens if you had a bit more of a slightly asshole Captain America. Well, this is what if Captain America was just a fucking asshole? Excuse the French, but just what if he was a horrible, horrible person who was more than happy to kill hundreds of people in the order of keeping peace?
Wow, okay.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's get into some watching suggestions.
Let's do it. We've talked a lot of news. I'm sorry. We both brought big bags.
We
did. Today.
We brought a lot. There was a lot.
We should talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
We should. This is episode 2.
Mm.
There was a train and there was a fight on top of the train. Or was it? No, they were trucks.
It was trucks. It felt like the second Matrix movie.
Yeah. It felt like there was a Mandalorian episode season that was on, and it felt like a video game where you're playing on top of something that's moving quickly.
It was very cool, and you could see where a lot of their budget went. Like that was a movie stunt. That was a movie caliber stunt.
Oh yeah, for sure. And we were talking about this show last week with Shannon, and she's like, "This is the Marvel that I want instead of WandaVision." And I think for me, I kind of enjoyed WandaVision more than this show so far. We're only 2 episodes in, and I think because WandaVision was so weird, and I didn't know what was going to happen next, and I think that was really enjoyable to me. But
the ladies in my house also enjoyed WandaVision a lot more because they both like sitcoms and they enjoyed playing with that formula.
Yeah, and I know the references that they were doing through WandaVision.
I kind of share your statement there because I really like this new show, and I also agree with Shannon to an extent because this show is it's like Captain America.
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier.
Yeah,
it's very much like that and very much like Civil War. But it just feels to me, it feels like another Marvel movie, which is great. But I like that aspect of WandaVision because I didn't know where it was going next. I didn't kind of see it in front of me where, I mean, essentially after episode 3, everything kind of just goes, it kind of just goes off in a completely different direction than I wasn't expecting. So this, it's great. It's really good. But I can it kind of has that Marvel formula to it. So that's kind of my take on it 2 episodes in.
There was nothing about it that wasn't fun to watch, but it just didn't have that, what is going on?
It was very serious in some parts
When
they went to visit, so his name is Isaiah Bradley, the elderly gentleman who was just so angry. That was an amazingly acted scene and stuff, but like that, you wouldn't get that in a Marvel movie. I don't think they take the time on that sort of scene and stuff. And they don't, it feels like they're really dipping into more real world sort of issues than they normally would. And they've got a little bit more time to stew in it. I thought it was very cool, including his character. That storyline came from about 2003, Captain America, Red, White and Blue. But it was the idea that when Cap was under ice, they tried out different super soldiers and that they very, very poorly treated this guy. The other part that was exciting was that his grandson who opened the door. Now, if we've never really addressed this in the Marvel Universe, but if you've got super soldier serum coursing through your veins, could you perhaps pass that on?
Yeah, right.
So maybe we might have met another member of the Young Avengers.
That's really cool.
He becomes a guy named, or he could potentially be a guy named Patriot.
Is Patriot a good guy?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Just checking.
Patriot's the best.
I liked the difference between this Captain America in episode one versus episode two. Mm. Episode one, we saw his perspective where he's like, it was the beginning of this episode, sorry, where he was nervous. He didn't know if he was going to be able to live up to it. And we saw him through the perspective of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And to me, that was interesting because their perspective was very different to what we saw when it was just him.
Yep. I think the mask maybe is giving him some arrogance.
Yeah.
Because he seemed very, humble, but like he seemed quite composed at the beginning and like reverent of the suit. Yeah. And then once he was in it and started getting the power, maybe it's going to start going to his head a bit.
Because Tim, we saw him training and we know that he can do all of the things that someone who has a shield should do.
Yeah, he was throwing that thing. He was hauling. When he threw that shield and was breaking that stuff, I was like, okay, this guy's the real deal. He reminded me kind of like a Homelander. Literally, his face looked identical to Homelander when at the very end when he had kind of, you know, he hadn't shaven in a day or two. Mm. So that's kind of what I got from that. I also thought one important thing too, we mentioned when he went to go and see the previous Captain America that was treated poorly. Another kind of little Easter egg that I was thinking of was his assistant, or I should say the new Captain America's assistant, mm-hmm. is Battlestar, who is also another Marvel character. I don't really know too much about him because I'm not super deep into the Marvel universe, but I do know that he is a superhero of some kind.
It's definitely, there's bits coming through, which is cool. It's just cool, but I'm slightly nervous.
Why?
Well, they make a big point of him saying that he's not Captain America. He doesn't have the powers. He's not, you know. And if he's fighting people that do have powers and there's a bunch of syringes laying around from what he thought was vaccine but is probably the super soldier serum and stuff, do you think there's a chance that in a moment of weakness and in trying to take on these guys, he might shoot himself up with a bunch of knockoff gear that doesn't work as well as hoped?
This is sounding like the season three of The Boys.
I think it's great that we've got John Walker. He's great fun in the comics. He's a dick. But it's just because he's not the original. And, you know, he has a different upbringing, different views on things like this. So I am worried. Did you know that's Kurt Russell's son?
Is it?
Yep.
That's wild.
I know.
Oh, wow.
And he originally auditioned for Captain America before Chris Evans.
Oh, that's really cool.
So they've had him on the back burner ready to go for that long. You know, once they said they were bringing in John Walker, that he was first choice.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
So is that, I think it's Kate Hudson's half-brother or maybe full brother. I don't know. I don't know where it is because Kurt Russell.
Half-brother maybe?
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, they're not married. Gossipy stuff, I don't know.
Oh, my God. They killed Kenny. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I watched... And I know you did as well, Tom. Well, I'd be very surprised if you didn't. I'm wondering if Tim did. Mighty Ducks. Yes. Game Changers. Episode one.
No,
fun.
I need to watch this. I'm a big hockey guy and I completely missed it.
Okay, so they're dropping one episode per week in the Disney Plus model, which is great. And I thought that it was awesome. I really enjoyed it. I don't know how much we were. It's still early, so we can just do a bit of setup of it. Well, we won't do any spoilers.
We won't do spoilers, but I must say I watched it with my sister, Steph, who's been on the podcast a few times, and I don't think she's watched a Mighty Ducks movie for years and years and years. And she got into it. She's like, right, let's watch the next episode. I said, there's no next episode yet. She's like, oh, I was sitting here waiting for the next one to come on. She really got into it. I think also because, what's her name?
Lauren Graham.
Lauren Graham, who was Lorelei in Gilmore Girls, and Steph was a big Gilmore Girls fan back in the day. And she's like, she's barely changed. She's like, she looks almost exactly the same. And I went, well, look at Emilio. Emilio Estevez has hardly changed either.
Oh, Emilio's looking very Martin Sheen.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of Martin Sheen going on. Same hairdo. Yeah,
he's getting gruff. look, I think it's a very cool twist on things. Basically, the Mighty Ducks now are very corporate and entirely success-focused, and they've lost their way in terms of the fun.
Yeah.
So an outcast group, you know, a few people that didn't make the cut decide to form their own team. Lauren Graham is the mother of the main character who I've forgotten his name, but he was in Good Boys. Do you remember that movie from 2019?
Oh,
about like
that?
The 12-year-olds that go that out a on a super movie. Bad adventure.
I love that movie.
Okay,
so that movie.
The youngest one in that, the one that talks trash all the time, he's the main kid in this. He's like the Joshua Jackson equivalent. He's so good.
That's
so
how
I'm,
I know.
I'm already watched that. That sold me right there. I'm already watching it.
You know what? I was only thinking about that scene from that movie. You know when they decide they have to cut through across the highway?
Oh, my God. And the scream.
I was only thinking about that not long ago, laughing, because that's a very funny movie. I also was like, that Maxwell Simpkins, there's another young kid in there who –
the podcast host.
Podcast host, that's right. I was like –
We've seen him in stuff, haven't we?
I've seen him in stuff, and I kept saying, he surely has to be Sean Astin's son, right?
Yeah, he looks like every Goonie combined.
Yeah, but he's not, and I was really disappointed in that. But what I think I saw him in last was Love the Coopers, which is a Christmas movie.
Ah, sure.
With Steve Martin, John Goodman, Egg Helms. Diane Keaton, all those people, and he was the younger kid in that. But that kid's cool. Like you want a proper Disney actor? That's the Disney actor.
It's funny you say that. If you look through the credits of the show, they have taken very good care of anyone that's part of the ABC family. So you've got people that used to be on what's it called? Wrecked.
Yes.
Except you've got people that were on Wrecked. You've got one of the guys from Descendants.
You've got
people that have been in real deep cut Disney Channel Bizardvark. That's where I know that kid you're talking about from.
Right.
He was on Bizardvark for a little
great
while.
Great name, never heard of
it. I have an 8-year-old daughter. So I see a lot of weird Disney Channel stuff. they've just really looked after the wider ABC family and cast people that way. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, Tim, I reckon –
it's well worth your time.
Oh, and by the time you watch it, potentially there'll be two episodes out. Oh, you'd be living
I know. I just kind of my thing is that's what I did with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I just waited and then I binged the first two. But the problem was that it was like almost watching a full movie because each episode, unlike The Mandalorian and WandaVision, which were 30 minutes, I believe Falcon and Winter Soldier was like 50 minutes an episode. So it was close to, 2 hours.
Yeah.
So is this kind of in the similar ballpark where it's like 30 minutes or is it like a 50-minute kind of show?
I think it was about 40 minutes, but it may have been a little bit longer because it was the premiere.
I can't see them throwing a 50-plus minute episode out every week. It just doesn't feel like that format, So bite-sized chunks is pretty good. Tim, what have you been binging? What have you got to recommend us?
Ooh. And that's the thing. I feel like every show that I recommend, you guys might have already watched it. But the one thing I would say, my favorite show that I binged during COVID and everything has been Schitt's Creek.
I haven't started it yet.
That I love that show. The dad in the show reminds me of my dad.
Oh, so really?
Minus the rich part. He literally acts like my dad. So I'm going to myself. I'm like, okay, I feel this right now. And also minus the big eyebrows because what's his name?
Eugene Levy.
I love him for it.
Yeah.
Then the other show that I've been binging, I've been binging one other show that I actually binged in the kind of in the middle of the pandemic was Cobra Kai, all three seasons. So I very much enjoyed that. I started it on YouTube Red way back, and then I saw that Netflix picked it up and then added a third season. So I watched season two and three, and season three, I believe, released in January. So it's definitely a show worth binging. I loved it.
I didn't even know it was on YouTube Red at first. That's crazy.
I remember back in the day, I got the free trial of YouTube Red just to watch that. And then I canceled YouTube Red because I was like, there's nothing else I'm going to get. That's why I missed season two, but now everybody can watch it. So
can I make one other recommendation for YouTube Red? That is where, so there was a movie that came out in, I want to say like 2018, maybe even 17, called Bodied. It was made by YouTube Red, and it's executive produced by Eminem, and it's about a white, like a white kid at a fancy college who for his thesis decides to go underground in battle rap and loses himself loses himself completely and becomes untethered from what's appropriate in society anymore.
Yeah.
Is it as good as 8 Mile? Like, is it like 8 Mile quality?
It feels more DIY, and it's dirty and scrappy because it's it's a similar sort of thing. It's all in warehouses and stuff like that, but it's not everyone there is playing. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not just the white boy trying in this world. Maybe there's a lot of people acting harder than they really are, and they're playing characters and this sort of stuff. And it's all about that, you know, rap. Genuine, like, seems to be about you've got to wear your heart on your sleeve and be true to yourself and, you know, be a real G and all this sort of stuff. And this film kind of flips that of like, what if everyone in that game is just playing and it's for fun? And you'd say the most threatening things you've ever heard to each other, but no one would hurt a fly.
And do they get offended?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay.
They say awful okay. things. Like, you spend your week digging up dirt on your opponent to try and absolutely destroy them. So you will talk about their parents' divorce or deaths that they've witnessed. Or,
wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's harsh. Anyway, sorry. I know I went completely off track there, but you got me excited about YouTube Red because no one ever talks about YouTube Red. But I had time for it.
It's one of those things where it's like there's so many streaming platforms that you often overlook it. It's like Paramount Plus. There's now that, and now I have to download all these new shows to watch. And I was just thinking of that. Now I got to watch, it's called Bodied?
Bodied. It's so good. It's so good. So it's a movie. It's like an hour and a half, and it just floored me.
I'm in on that because I've been just, that's like, it would be like watching like roast battles on Comedy Central, but in a movie.
Then you know what this is about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what this is. Mm. I love roast battle so much. And one of the worst things about the pandemic is they can't do roast battle.
Truth.
Going from roast battle weirdness. Yes. I want to jump over. So one of my favorite people in the entire world that I talk about a lot is Eric Andre. And I've been following for ages this film that he's got called Bad Trip. Mm-hmm. It finally dropped on Netflix on Friday last week. Mm-hmm. It somehow got uploaded to Amazon Prime for like 40 minutes April last year.
Oh.
So there's been a leak. A similar thing happened to Boss Level, that Frank Grillo Groundhog Day assassin movie. Anyway, this movie Bad Trip is think Jackass, think Borat, this style of thing, but with a narrative. So it's him and Lil Ray Howery, and they are traveling to New York to meet a girl that Eric Andre likes. And while this is happening, they do prank stunts, but they're not pranking the public. It's horrible things happening to them that the public witnesses.
So, kind of like Jackass in that respect.
So that's what I mean. It's kind of like Jackass, but there's this weird, like, the narrative actually works. Tiffany Haddish is the third main character in the film. She is hilarious. She steals this film.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. She breaks out of jail and chases him down and spends all scenes like in prison gear, horribly manipulating the public. Like, when she breaks out of the jail, she's underneath a truck that pulls up and parks next to a guy who looks like he's probably on parole, but is painting walls outside of the prison. And she waits till the driver of the truck goes away, and then she pops her head down. She's like, yo, help me out here, man. help me out, I'm stuck. And the guy helps her out and she's like, oh, thank you, man. You're my accomplice now. And he's like, what? And he's like, you're my accomplice. You gotta, you're my eyes. You gotta watch. And then a security guard comes around and starts chasing her. And this guy is freaking out and he's like dropping his stuff, put his hands up. I don't know her. I don't know her. She's like, you're my baby mama, like my baby daddy. You're the best. You're the best. You're going to get me out of here. They just do awful stuff. It's so good. There's a hand that goes in a blender at a Baskin Robbins.
I watched this and the one thing that I had to look away from, there's this scene with the gorilla. So I warn anybody, any of your listeners watching the movie, if you see the scene with the gorilla, just look away. It's not worth it.
It's okay. A lot. Okay. It is a lot.
See a gorilla, go get a drink.
Yeah. Go and get a beer or a drink or something. Come back in like 5 minutes.
Okay.
If the gorilla is still on the screen, then maybe go and get a second drink.
Yeah. Okay. It's one of the more confronting things you'll see this year.
Okay.
In a silly throwaway movie, there is a fantastic sequence where they ingest some drugs unknowingly and then go and have a bad trip inside a supermarket. And I don't know how they did this, but like they're interacting with the public while they're being silly and meant to be fucked up. And yet somehow they've spliced in all this green screen action of what their brain is experiencing.
Oh, interesting.
So like they're walking up to someone and being like, hey man, do you know where the watermelons are? Or can you tell me where I can find some pretzels? But in their brain, they're talking to a lemur. And yeah, it's all filmed Jackass style. So I don't know how they splice this together. They must have done a bunch of like pickups on green screen later or something like that. I don't know. Very clever, very subversive. So Jeff, what's his name? Jeff Tremaine, who's the guy from Jackass. He's their director and executive producer of Birdhouse. He is EP on this, and you know there's behind the scenes footage, and he's there every day. And it has that Jackass feel, but it also has the oh shit, anything can happen nature of the Eric Andre show.
Yeah, right.
I loved this movie so much.
The shock value is there.
Yeah.
I was very excited to sit down and watch a couple of episodes of Nailed It, whatever season.
Was it Nailed It Double Trouble, season 5?
Yeah, maybe it was. But I enjoyed how they did not, I've only watched 2 episodes, so I don't know, but they did not at all reference the fact that it was COVID, but it was obviously filmed during COVID because things were different, things were handled differently.
No more running up to grab your item that you're going to prepare.
No selfie at the end.
No.
The desk that the judges sit on were, very spaced out, but Nicole Byer was still hilarious. Second guest was Ron Funches.
You know, I was there for that.
He was really good. And it's just nice to be able to watch that show because it just makes you laugh in a really happy, positive way. I think I'm going to kind of savor it and watch little bits and pieces here and there.
Same. I've permitted. So, again, an 8-year-old in our house loves Nailed It, and I'm allowing 1 episode a day. Because otherwise she'll sit down and she'll watch all 8 or 10 or however many there are in one go and it's all done.
So what is Nailed It?
I'm so glad you asked.
I've never watched Nailed It.
They get 3 contestants. All of them are pretty rubbish at baking anything. So like trying to bake even a packet cake is beyond these people. And they go on the show and they have to recreate cakes or other sorts of that kind of bakery dessert that have been prepared by a professional and they have to recreate it and the results are horrendously hilarious. Bits will fall off. The Christmas episodes are always the funniest because it might be like, this is a Santa cake, so it's Santa. You know, like recreate Santa's head and he's got his sack and the toys are coming out, right? And they're like, I don't know what to do, so I've just gotten a whole heap of Rice Krispie treats, tried to mold them into a head that looks like Santa's, tried to put some red, not icing, what's it called?
Fondant
on it. But then that's peeling off whilst the judges are trying to judge. It's hilarious. It's like watching people.
It's a celebration of failure.
Crash and burn.
They're in a very high pressure situation. They have like a 45 minutes or an hour to cook something that clearly took 8.
Yeah.
And like Leah, like you were saying, it's probably super wholesome. You know, like I would watch this and then I would sleep like a baby.
Yep.
So that's what I'm looking for. Yeah. So I think I'm in on this.
It's a bit of a cultural phenomenon. It's pretty big.
Yeah. Nicole Byer.
Yeah. The host of it.
Brilliant as the host.
She's sugar and sweetness and everything nice in life.
How does she compare though to Gordon Ramsay? Cause my two favorite are Gordon Ramsay and Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
I believe that's how we say his last name.
Flavortown.
But he is Flavortown. I want to live in Flavortown.
Okay. I went to Vegas to see Penn and Teller and to eat at a Guy Fieri restaurant.
Yeah, get the trash can nachos. That's why you
so
go.
Good.
But so how does she compare to Guy, or not to, well, I guess to Guy Fieri, right, and to Gordon Ramsay? So, I've been watching a lot of Hell's Kitchen, and I do kind of like the Gordon Ramsay just yelling at people.
The aggression
because
is
I couldn't
good.
Do that.
Yeah.
It is the exact polar opposite. So Nicole Byer is not a chef at all. She's a
stand-up comedian.
Stand-up comedian, yeah, who is bubbly and sweet and just a lot. And then Jacques Torres is her off-sider, and he's a French chef.
And pastry he's a chef.
Pastry chef, very big back in France, and has a few restaurants around and this sort of stuff. He's a little more cutthroat, but he wants to see everyone succeed and drink wine and just, you know, it's
a very relaxed, fun.
There is no Gordon Ramsay vibe. No one does bad. The worse you do, the better you do.
I would love it if Gordon Ramsay was a guest judge on it one time.
Oh, God. Imagine everything would break down.
I hear he's a nice guy, though, in real life.
I believe that's
what I hear, and that's what I see when people show me a TikTok of him dancing with his daughter. I mean, when he called somebody an idiot sandwich, that was
amazing.
The highlight.
But like Hell's Kitchen, he's awful to people. But when he goes and does the
Kitchen Nightmares.
Is that the one where he goes around and fixes other people's hotels and stuff like that?
Yeah, they're restaurants, yeah.
He always starts off harsh, but ends up really soft and nice with a lot of them. If they're willing to work with him, then he pulls them out of a funk.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
24 Hours to Hell and Back or something was the other one he did, I think, for like a hot minute.
There's some good cooking out there.
There was one that he did for, was it National Geographic Channel? And he would go to somewhere in the world, the food that he would pick on the side of a mountain with the,
no, I know what you're talking about.
That's
though,
a good show.
I had that. So sometimes, like when, you know, when I used to have people over, I just put something on the background.
Yeah,
and like,
right.
It'd be like, oh my gosh, like look, there's just Gordon Ramsay just chilling on the side of a mountain in Alaska. Yeah. And you just put that on and you mute it. But I remember that was on Disney Plus. It's on National Geographic.
Yeah.
I think it's like Uncharted. Like
that's
Gordon
it.
Ramsay
Uncharted.
Yeah. Then the other one that 24 Hours to Hell and Back, that's where he drives like a semi truck into just like a random town and then helps out like a little restaurant. So that's that. I like that one because it's like, oh, we didn't see him coming. And you just see him like driving in on like this huge, like 16 wheeler.
Yes, we really quacked at the principal. Are we ducks or what? You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
I briefly want to give a plug to Invincible, the new Amazon Prime show. It is written by Robert Kirkman, so the creator of The Walking Dead universe is also the creator for this. And Invincible started actually like a few months before Walking Dead.
Really?
Yes. It's been going for many years. It wrapped up a couple of years ago as well. It is the story. So Stephen Ewan voices him on the show. He is the son of this world's Superman, Omni-Man. And he is transitioning into puberty. Or actually, I think he's about to be 16, 17, somewhere around there. And he's waiting for his powers to come through. And the first episode is his powers start coming through and starting to train with his dad. And that's as far as I'm willing to talk about it. And okay. I've done the same in the past. I cut things off because I'm the same. I've brought in issue one of the comic for Leah to read this week, but it's the same with the TV show. The end of episode one completely changes the tone of the show. And then you realize why it's rated R.
Right.
So it is looks like a Saturday morning cartoon, like a 90s style Spider-Man or X-Men. It looks like a modern version of that, but it is a hard R rating for gore, extreme violence, and blood.
How many episodes? You said there were three?
So they dropped the first three, which okay. is what the boys did as well.
Right.
Dropped three episodes, and then it will be coming out weekly from there out. It feels very much like a companion piece to the boys, mm-hmm. if it's operating in a sort of shared tone. Mm. The voice cast is amazing. Jason Mantzoukas, J.K. Simmons, Steve Nguyen, Sandra Oh.
Heaps of people.
Yeah, and the team, there's a Justice League equivalent team that we meet in the first episode, and every single one of them is voiced by a Walking Dead character who has died horribly.
Okay, I'm gonna watch this because I'm interested.
It's great fun, and it's a slow burn. That mm-hmm. first episode feels like, you know, the first Spider-Man movie or something like that, where you're getting a bit of origin story setting, and you've got to ramp up, and then what happens, and you're like, oh, wow, okay, this is not what I thought this was going to be at all. Let's go.
You've got me. Yeah. I'm intrigued now.
I'm dancing around as much as I can. I would love to talk more once enough people have seen what happens.
I'm in. You sold me. Yeah, I think, but I hope it's not one of those moments where it's just like I'm get really sad after the first episode. I hope it's like a rated R, like it's not like Uncle Ben in the beginning of Spider-Man, because I got really sad when Uncle Ben passed. But like at the end of this episode, I hope the R rated stuff is like, okay, now I need to go and finish the other two.
That's what I want.
I promise you won't be sad, but your jaw will drop.
Okay, I'm happy with
ballsy.
That. Okay, all right, I'm very happy with that.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that I'm happy with, I'm glad What's-Her-Face, Carol, in The Walking Dead, made her goddamn pot of soup.
She got soup and she made a rat trap, and then Daryl needed to find a piece for a bike. And why did this episode exist?
This whole entire episode, Tim, it was excruciating. For a good, like, 10 minutes, there was, like, comedy music in the background. I'm like, what is going on? This is like a Walking Dead episode. I'm supposed to be scared. I don't care about Carol trying to find a rat.
She got real cranky.
Was it like a filler? Was it like just like a normal filler episode kind of thing?
So at the moment, they're doing six episodes that they're tacking on to the end of season 10 rather than beginning season 11 with. And they are super COVID episodes. So last week we spent, of a 42-minute episode, probably 36 minutes of one single character locked inside a train carriage. And other ones, we've had two people off on a walk through the bush, and that's been the episode. And this,
one zombie's there, one 6 feet away, that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's no crowds of zombies at the moment. The zombies are all really well-behaved, and they're spreading out, and they're properly social distancing. And it's awkward because some of the episodes are great. Like this one in the train carriage last week was fantastic. And there have been a few in this, you know, this was episode 5 of the 6 episodes. This was just so bad.
I don't feel like I have left this episode learning anything.
No, it achieved nothing. Now, next week should be a return to form. It's a Negan flashback episode. So we're going to learn about what happened with Jeffrey Dean Morgan's wife and what turned him into the baseball-toting asshole that we first met before he's thought a lot. He's a good guy now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Redemption arcs and all of that. So, look, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan's real-life wife is playing his wife on the show.
That's cool.
Well, if you need to have a lot of intimacy in the world of COVID, it's kind of the perfect casting to have people
imagine
that already exist in the bubble.
Intimacy casting. I got cast in this because I'm already married to him.
Well, apparently they've been considering using her for years.
Okay.
And then it was just too perfect of, hey, we don't need to put anyone else in the bubble.
It's great that they have come up with these six episodes. Some of them, like you said, Tom, they've been exploring different genres of, I assume, how to make film and television. This one was, look at Carol do the funny things.
Some episodes we've gotten really good monologues and, like, you know, the sort of things that drama students would use for auditions and you know, 6-minute monologues and things like that. Really, really impressive stuff.
Yeah.
And then, this week had slapstick and Daryl falling into a ditch, which Daryl don't do.
Doesn't do that.
Anyway, that's enough of me shaking my fist. Let's move on. Walking Dead was not great. What a surprise.
Are we ready to get into Would You Rather? could only pick one, would you rather PS5, Xbox Series X, big one, the black one, Switch or PC? You can only pick one.
I think the PC is the cheap way out because I could say, well, it's like, well, I need that for work. But if I'm saying just gaming aside, I got to go with the Switch. I love my Switch, play it all the time. Yeah, I love the new games on Game Pass. I love the new games on my PlayStation 5. But let's be real. Nothing beats Super Smash Brothers. Nothing beats Mario Kart. Nothing beats Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. We're getting Breath of the Wild 2 next year at some point, hopefully. And we're also getting some awesome games coming down the pike. And, you know, we also got some amazing backlog of games and indie games, too. So
lots of them.
And I can bring it anywhere.
Yeah. That's,
what's not to love about that?
Play that. Can play that in bed and it not be a problem.
Yep. And I like little.
That's the best.
I like little.
That's the best.
I want little piecemeal games. I like things where I can jump on and play for 10 minutes, scratch the itch, and then move off. I have a 7-month-old daughter as well. I don't have a lot of time for gaming at the moment. I would love to have a PS5 so that I could play Spider-Man Miles Morales, but that's not about to happen. There's no PS5s around. I love my PC because it has Planet Zoo, but I think I have to second you and I have to go with the Switch because it's the one I always reach for. If I've got a little bit of time and I want to just game, the Switch is what I'm jumping into. Animal Crossing, Monster Hunter, various games. Yeah.
I was going to say PS5, but you've convinced me that portability and the fact that you can – you know, turn it on, turn it off again, you know, or vice versa, and you're still at the exact same spot in that game. I've been playing Breath of the Wild for 6 months now, and I'm nowhere near finishing because I just pick it up, play for an hour, go and find some bananas to collect and kill some of those weird assassin things, and then bounce out again.
See, I got to weed my garden. I haven't been on Animal Crossing in like 3 days. I'm going to get in there. It's going to be like, oh, you're back. Hi. A lot of growth happened.
That's better than me. I haven't been there in like 8 months. They're going to be like, where the hell were you?
Maybe you shouldn't go back.
Well, I got a life, but yeah. I'm playing some other Nintendo games, yeah, but sorry.
Right. You want to try and jump on at some point in the next few days because I believe there's a free whoopee cushion for April Fools.
Ooh,
that's really fun.
There's that, and there's also some Mario items too, and that's another thing. Real kind of plug there. If you own a Switch and you want to get that new Mario game, you can only get it until I believe the 31st of March.
Oh, wow.
They
stopped
selling it for good. So Mario 3D All-Stars, they stopped selling on March 31st.
Okay. Oh, let's panic.
Gosh.
or just go home today and grab it. Mario or Sonic movie? I know we're getting a Sonic sequel, but would you rather
watch
Mario?
Them again what? Or no, a no, new no, one?
New, a new one, a new one.
I'm going to go with Mario because I love the Sonic movie. That was the last movie I saw in theaters before COVID broke.
Me too.
Yeah, it was worth it. The thing I would say is I'm super excited for Sonic 2, but that OG Mario movie from the 80s, that movie's hilarious. So I don't care if it's that bad. I don't care if it's or that good, I should say. But if we get a new Mario movie, I think that'd be really, really awesome.
Can I pitch a new Mario movie for
Okay, go. Let's go.
John Leguizamo stars in Luigi's Mansion, where he has to find Bob Hoskins' ghost Mario. Because Bob Hoskins, who played Mario, he died some years ago.
That's good.
They can use some facial recognition and stuff.
Star Wars style.
And use some of the script of what they were going to do with John Belushi being Smiler.
Oh, yeah, in Ghostbusters, yeah.
Port that over and have Luigi fucking around. And Luigi gets his time in the sun, which he deserves.
Mm.
Everyone loves John Leguizamo. And just imagine the stunt casting they could do for people. Keanu Reeves would be in that film.
I hope so.
Happily,
he'd just shoo him in. He's just somewhere. He's playing like Toad or something like that.
Yeah, he's just in there. There's also, you know, I see a lot of potential for a Luigi's Mansion film.
Yeah, I like
that. Put Jeff Goldblum in there. We just got to keep on shooing an all-star cast in there. I mean, sometimes it works out. We saw with what's his name, the guy from the Sonic movie, Jim Carrey. Played an awesome Dr. Robotnik.
Tom, you look worried. Or in
I
thought.
Had an idea and then it slipped out of my brain of who I wanted to play Waluigi. Oh, I want Jeff Goldblum as Waluigi.
Boom.
Oh, yeah, he'd be perfect.
Who would you cast as Wario?
I'm in.
Who's Wario? That's what, like, this makes or breaks it. Is it Jack Black?
John Goodman.
Oh, John Wario. Goodman is, yeah. That's very good.
Oh, I'm going to throw somebody a bit different.
Who's that?
See how you go with this one.
Yeah.
The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
As Wario?
Yeah.
Sure, he's got the ego for it.
I dig it because, like, it would be like a different take. You don't think that Wario is going to come out looking like Dwayne the Rock Johnson with his tribal tattoo.
And Wario's always dropping that elbow. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And that smile will take on a whole different context, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So when COVID's completely gone, well, at least, you know, not a risk to us anymore. I suspect it's going to be with us forever. But what would you rather do first? Like, what's the first thing? What are you thinking about?
When buffet.
A buffet.
I want to go to a buffet, like a Sizzler. I just want to go and eat at a trough. I want to eat somewhere where someone comes and takes the plates afterwards and does that cleaning for me.
Yeah.
And there's just multiple food options that I didn't have to prepare laid out in front of me at once.
The buffet is what separates the boys from the men. The men go to the buffet, and I think that's going to hold true after, you know, men and women, but that's going to separate, you know, the people that are scared and aren't scared to go to the buffet first. That's a wild move, but I dig it. Things I'm excited for after. So, like, the first thing I'm going to do as soon as all of this is gone, going to go to, this is the Boston kid in me. I want to go to Fenway Park, have a nice beer, sit back, feed up, just watch the game and just, you know, then go to the bar after. Nothing can beat it. Going just in just seeing sports in general and just having a fun time with the guys and not having to worry about all this other
stuff. No worry. Just go and enjoy it.
That is an awesome call.
Look, for me is going somewhere overseas on a proper holiday where you know it's not going to be cancelled at the last second. You know everything's going to be fine apart from, like, your normal annoying rigmarole that you got to go through with in any airport, but just going, having a great time, being in a different country. I'm impressed with all of us. They were all three very different responses, and I'm still thinking I would be very happy to do all three. Okay, would you rather a fanfare and loads of applause whenever you enter or exit a room?
I think I've got to say enter, because if people are applauding when I leave,
you start to worry.
I'm going to have a real complex about it. I did. So I used to do magic, close up stuff and children's parties. And I had looked into getting a speaker system sewn into a jacket so that I could have applause buttons in my sleeve, because I wanted exactly that of when I walked in. Kids don't give a shit. They don't clap for you when you arrive. But if you can walk in and press a button that makes cheering and clapping happen, they join in. So that's, I have an actual answer for that. And it's
something it's your entrance.
I legitimately looked into it, and it was going to cost a lot of money to get done.
Tim, what do you reckon? Do you want the entrance or the exit applauded?
The exit would be, like, both have benefits and negative impacts. Like, I think it also depends on the situation. Like, if you were doing, like for instance, if you were doing a magic show or like a stand-up show and you left the stage and nobody clapped and it was just dead silence.
That's true.
That would be terrible, because then you're just like, okay, I bombed. But then if you enter, like, for instance, if I entered like a hospital room where something serious just happened and everybody's clapping, I'm going to myself, I'm like, what did I do? Or like, that's, I enter good. A funeral home and everything. I think leaving the room, that'd be a power statement. You walk out and people are clapping behind you.
I would like the applause at the end, because I'm not a big fan of like that long goodbye. I just want to, when I decide I want to leave, I just want to go. So if I get the applause, I'll be like, thank you very much, everybody. Good night.
I'm with you. So you've reminded me of something. At university, I had a friend teach me a move called the Jeff 1-2. And I never met Jeff, but Jeff was a guy that he knew who had this move where when Jeff was ready to leave anywhere, Jeff would stand within 2 feet of the door. And he'd turn around and he'd say, all right, everybody, hooroo, and do the Jeff 1-2. Two steps, he's out the door. Mm. He's acknowledged that he's leaving. He's said goodbye to everyone, but he hasn't wasted a fucking moment.
And no one can stop him because he's already gone by the time they inhale.
Jeff's gone. Jeff 1-2. He's out the door. I like can't that. Slow it down.
That's really good.
That's the best way to be. The only better one is when I'm hanging out with my brother and we go out to like a bar or something, he'll just leave and go and get pizza. He'll find like the nearest pizza store and just won't even say anything. He'll just be like, you know what? I'm just going to go and get a slice. I'll see ya. And you know, if I see you later, I'll see you later. And he just pees. I'm like, where did Billy go? It's like, oh, he's going to eat pizza right now.
For your birthday, would you prefer a cake or a huge cheesy lasagna? I'm a bit hungry right now, to be honest with you.
I think you should answer this one first, Leah.
I'm going to say lasagna.
There's a lasagna?
Yeah, like the smell of it. Everybody's going to be excited. Where a cake's like, oh, we've got to sing the song. It's going to be a bit awkward. There'll be people who don't really want me to blow candles out all over the cake and then give them a slice.
It depends on what day of the week, because if it's Monday and I'm feeling like Garfield and I hate Mondays, then I'm going to eat lasagna. That's number one. If so, my birthday falls on a Monday, I'm lasagna. The cake too has to be the right type of cake. Like I remember growing up, my mom say like, oh, what type of cake do you want for your birthday? You know, and I would always do, you know, like angel food cake kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where it also depends on the cake, but I think I gotta go with the cake. You know, it's your birthday, you gotta have the cake, and you also gotta have the ice cream too. That's the best part. As long as the cake has the ice cream, you double up.
That brings me to my one.
Yes.
Which is a McDonald's ice cream cake.
Okay, combine the world.
I don't know if you remember if you ever had a birthday party at McDonald's or you went to one when you were younger, everyone was hanging for that cake to come out. And they charged a lot of money for that cake, and it was just ice cream. Hmm. And it was, so good. Don't do it anymore.
You're chilling the ball pit. You're getting a workout in the ball pit. You're hanging with your friends and whatnot. Then you come out and you eat it like you just go ham after eating a whole bunch of chicken McNuggets.
Yep.
It's super healthy for you.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know if the chicken McNuggets are chicken. Because I remember in college, we did a chicken McNugget 2000. We did a challenge where we had to eat 2000 chicken McNuggets. There was 10 of us.
Sure.
It was the grossest thing I've ever done. And afterwards, I was like, there's no way that those are chicken.
But I'm sure there's chicken accoutrement added, extra bits. Beaks and feet and all that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Those things are all eaten in other places in the world. There's no issue with them being involved.
They're technically still chicken. Okay, so The Rock is releasing a game. What do you reckon it's going to be about? What's the genre? What's the setting?
So if The Rock was releasing a game, which is very viable because he's teaming up with Xbox to do some stuff. If he was releasing a game, I would kind of almost look back to like 50 Cent Blood on the Sand and have it be like one of those tie-in games that's like surprisingly good, even though it's, you know, has like a dumb name. Like I think the whole plot of that was somebody stole his like crystal skull or something and it was like a popcorn shooter.
It was
so that's
good.
Kind of what I'm feeling. Somebody steals The Rock's like script and then he goes haywire and just goes, you know, shooting a third of a country's population or something like that.
I really like that for a mechanic, and I'm going to throw on an idea on top.
Okay.
Is that somehow he gets sucked into a video game like Jumanji, to shout out to Jumanji, but the film format is done in the way of Last Action Hero. Sorry, of the game format. So do you remember Last Action Hero where it was the little boy and he goes into the Arnie movie and there's various characters and stuff, and you've got to go and as The Rock, you've got to defeat Rock's characters. So you've got to beat up the Scorpion King.
Ooh.
You've got to take down the Fast and the Furious crew. Take out Hobbs. You know, like you've got to do a dance mode tutorial in time with the gay cowboy from Get Shorty. You've got to race to which mountain? And
see, mine is a game as a service.
Mm.
I don't think I've ever said that out loud. It felt weird to say.
Felt weird to hear.
Yeah, okay, great. And each month they introduce another one of his co-stars from a movie that he's been in.
Mm.
So obviously the first one is going to be like your Kevin Hart kind of person.
Sure.
And then like you can play them in a team deathmatch.
Oh, can we get the George the Monkey from Rampage?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I like that idea.
Of course, in mine, everything's a microtransaction, so I'm going to be so rich.
They can have a stage where you've got a battle on a crane next to the world's tallest building while it catches on fire.
Whoa!
That movie was not good.
I didn't even bother watching
it. I did. I watch everything The Rock does.
Was it like he released that and then San Andreas and they kind of just meshed together for me? I was like, it's just The Rock. Like I'm going to, they should just title it just The Rock's like next movie or something.
And then we all Rock's just go movie see it. 'Cause
at that point, that's kind of the vibes I'm getting when I buy my movie ticket.
Could you get that on Games Pass or would that have to be like an exclusive?
Oh, he would have it. You get free access when you buy his tequila or the new Zoa water, which he's promoting 3 to 4 times a day.
Yeah, it would be like there'd be like a code on the back of the can where you enter it online. It's like Mountain Dew. It's like The Rock's version of Mountain Dew. Baja Blast.
Oh, I love
it. Can you smell what The Rock is drinking?
Tim, this has been a lot of fun. We've really enjoyed having you on the podcast.
You have been an amazing guest, my friend. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Well, hey, guys, this has honestly been one of the funnest times I've had in such a long time. So you guys you're making my COVID quarantine fun. So this is exciting for me.
Brilliant. All right.
Will you come back?
Hey, whenever you guys want me, I'll be your video game correspondent. You can say like, hey, Tim's our video game correspondent. We'll hit him up. He's got the intel.
Then we need to talk Mortal Kombat soon.
When that movie's out. I'm in on that. That movie's coming out pretty soon.
Yep.
It's going to be a good one. But it's running the same gambit of we got all these different, we have the good video game movies and then we have the bad video game movies. Like we have like the Sonic and the Hedgehogs and the Detective Pikachus. Mm-hmm. And then we go to, you know, the Street Monster Fighter. Hunters of the world, which is a great game, but the movie, I don't even remember the movie being good at all.
I didn't watch it. And I love those games.
Tim, thank you very much once again. And I really like that idea of the video correspondent. We'll definitely hold you to that, okay?
Sounds like a plan. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. And Tom?
Hadouken.